بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد، respected brothers, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him for granting us another Yawmul Jumu'ah, a day to worship Him and come to the masjid for Salatul Jumu'ah. This deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is a very beautiful deen, a very beautiful way of life, a very beautiful religion. It's not just a religion, it's a complete, comprehensive way of life. And one of the very, very important aspects of our deen, something which Allah commands in the Quran, and numerous verses talk about this command and this concept and this really important aspect of Islam, and we hear it all the time in Jumu'ah khutbah. I'm sure if I'm going to recite this verse to you right now, you will say, ah, this verse. If you are performing Jumu'ah week in, week out, then you probably memorize this, even if you're not someone who's made tahfiz of the Quran al-Kareem. Allah says in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And the khutbah is not ended, by the way. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And then we say, اذكروا الله يذكركم, and then we complete. Allah commands two things in this verse. I want to talk about just one thing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, which is very, very important. Allah commands us, which is against dhulm and oppression, which is prohibited. And sadly, we are going through a time, and you know, throughout the globe, where there's a lot of oppression and a lot of injustice. Allah commands adl, commands us to be just, not just with ourselves, but people around us, and with our family members, and the community, and globally. But the second thing that I want to talk about, Allah commands ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Some people have a name, ihsan. We have Darul Ihsan here, who have invited me. May Allah bless them. Ihsan. What is ihsan? Ihsan is very difficult to actually translate with one word, whether in English or any other language. It's very difficult. Some words, some concepts of our deen are very, very difficult to translate. They're very comprehensive, very sort of unique, comprehensive words, have many, many meanings. We say perfection, excellence, doing something well, doing something good, beautification. All of this and much, much more is in al-ihsan. Allah commands this ihsan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah makes it a fard. يَأْمُر means He is commanding. It's not just sunnah or mustahab or recommended. It's actually fard. When Allah is commanding something, then it becomes obligatory. It's like something we have to do, we have to have in our lives. And there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, where in that hadith as well, he says that it is an obligation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Indeed, Allah has كَتَبَ. The word كَتَبَ in Arabic means obligation. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ. كُتِبَ means فرض. أي فُرِضَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ. Allah has made ihsan fard on everything in life. فَإِذَا الحديث says إن الله كتب الأحسان على كل شيء، فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة. Which means, as an example, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah has made ahsan fard on everything, but as an example, to the point that if you قتلتم, if you kill, and this killing is even in warfare, even if it's legitimate warfare, then Allah has obligated upon the Muslim army, the Muslims, to have ihsan even in their war. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ. Make your warfare, your killing in your war also with ihsan. You don't necessarily give someone, you know, starve them of food or give them pain for unnecessary pain. You've got an objective, you're defending yourself or whatever the objective is. You don't take it like personally try to make people suffer. Indiscriminate killing and making them suffer and starvation to death and all of this. This is what Muslims don't do. Others do. The Zionists do that. Muslims, we don't do that. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةِ. Even the killing, there should be ihsan. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave another example. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ. Even if you have to slaughter an animal, chicken, meat, we need to eat. Even if you're slaughtering, make your slaughter with ihsan. فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. Which means, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some things in the hadith that, like for example, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Make sure your knife is very sharp. That's part of ihsan on slaughtering the animal. Don't slaughter one animal in the presence of another animal. Don't give the animal unnecessary extra pain more than what's needed. Even with animals. Because it is permissible to kill an animal in Islam, because Allah has made insan the most noble of creation, creatures, ashraful makhluqat. Wal an'ama khalaqaha lakum. The animal cattle we've created for you, O human. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْعُوا وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. You eat from them. But that doesn't mean you make them suffer. They still have souls. They still have life. They still, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي هَذِهِ الْبَهَائِمِ الْمُعْجَمَةِ. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That fear Allah regarding these animals who can't speak. If you're treating a human being in a bad way, they will tell you, they'll speak, they'll swear back at you, or they will tell you, but the animal can't say anything. So fear Allah regarding these animals. And there's numerous, there's actually books written on the topic, the rights, huquq of animals in Islam. There's a book where I once came from, many ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compiled on the rights, huquq of animals. Animals have rights. You can't give them extra pain more than what's needed. You can take their life only if there's some benefit or your removal of harm. Only two reasons. You can't just practice on them just for fun. You can't just kill an animal for fun. You can't just injure or kill an animal for fun. There has to be benefit. Benefit like eating their meat, etc. Or, you know, you want to benefit some other part of their body, like their fur or whatever, skin. And or you're trying to ward off, remove harm. Like you've got a snake there or an animal that might injure you or harm you, you can kill. But again, that has to be done with ihsan. So that's a hadith that's talking about the obligation of ihsan. Ihsan in everything. Now what is ihsan? I just want to just quickly, I said it's very difficult to translate excellence, beautification, doing something well, doing something good, being perfect to the best of one's ability in everything they do. This is ihsan. It is one third of our deen. There's a famous hadith of Jibra'il where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Sayyiduna Jibra'il came to him. It's a long, long hadith and I don't want to go into the details of that hadith. But he asked three questions. He said, Mal Iman, O Messenger of Allah, what is Iman? First question. And then he said, Mal Islam, second question. Mal Ihsan, third question. Three questions. And then he asked a few more after that. But these are the main three questions about deen. And our deen is summarized in these three categories. Because when Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, when he left, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to the Sahaba, هَذَا جِبْرَئِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. This was Jibreel who came to teach you your deen. So deen is Iman, Islam, Ihsan. So one third of our deen is Islam. Iman is the Aqidah. That's one category. Iman is what we believe in. It's the brain. It's to do with the brain and the heart, to what we believe in, the Aqidah of the Muslim. When he asked, Mal Iman? The angel Jibreel alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, what is Iman? He said, Iman is أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. Gave a list of aqaida, the basic beliefs of a Muslim. Believe in Allah and the hereafter, etc. Then he asked him about Islam. What is Islam? Mal Islam? Now we say Islam, you know, we use it in a way for our religion and our deen and Muslims, but the term Islam is submission. And in this particular hadith, the understanding is that Islam refers to external actions. External actions. So when he asked him, what is Islam? He said, أن تصلي الصلاة وتصوم رمضان وتعطي الزكاة وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. You know, external laws, what we call fiqh. Because externally, with our body, we have certain commands and prohibitions in Islam. Allah has told us certain things to do with our body, like perform salah, fasting, zakat, hajj, rules externally. And there are externally prohibitions, things we have to stay away from, which are haram, like stealing and killing and murdering and fornication, zina, and you know, all the drinking alcohol, eating pork, the major haram. There are fard and haram to do with the external body. But that's just the Islam category, which is external. Then you have a third category, which is ihsan. And he asked him, what is ihsan? Ihsan is to do with the internal. This is what ihsan is. It's internal, but then it manifests itself So internally, there are commands and prohibitions. Just like there's prohibitions, internally, there's commands, there's fard internally. A person has to have tawadu, humility, sincerity, sabr, patience, love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these are internal to do with the heart, the spirituality. And there are haram things to do with the inside as well. Just like externally alcohol and coke and all of this is with the body haram, inside the heart, jealousy, hatred, enmity, resentment, pride, ego, arrogance, these are all haram. And these are all, every Muslim has to stay away from. These are major harams. These are all haram. And this is what the category of ihsan is about. It makes a person internally beautiful. And then it basically influences externally as a beautiful Muslim, as a beautiful person. This is what ihsan is. That's why in the hadith of Jibreel, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is ihsan? He said, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. He was talking about ibadah, that you worship Allah. Ihsan is you are worshipping Allah as though you are seeing Him. We can't see Allah in this dunya, but as though you are so focused with the heart, the khushu' and khudu' in the salah is like you are thinking, Allah, I am just before Allah, standing before Allah. When we reach that level of khushu' and khudu', devotion and sincerity and focus and mind and heart in salah, then that is called ihsan. So this ihsan is a very important quality. It's a command, it's an obligation upon every Muslim. Now, if you look at this ihsan, every aspect of life, there are verses of the Quran or hadith that talk about ihsan. You know, the word is ihsan, which is from the root word ahsana yuhsinu, but there are many verses in the Quran. Many verses in the Quran that have been derived from this root word ihsan. And it talks about every aspect of our life. I mentioned the hadith about just slaughtering an animal with ihsan. But if you look at the Quran or the hadith, this hadith I mentioned about Jibreel, that was about worship. So in ibadah, we're supposed to have ihsan. You worship Allah. What is ihsan? You worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. meaning your mind, your focus, your khushu, your khudu. When we perform salah, we're focused. We think about Allah. We realize we are standing before Allah. And not think about everything else of the world. We try to put in the mind and the effort into the salah. Put the khushu, the conviction, 5 times a day, every salah, as much as possible. But this is to do with ihsan in ibadah. Worship. Not just this worship, every worship. Whether it's tilawah of the Quran, focus, mind, try to look at the words, try to understand the words, try to understand the meanings. And when we make dhikr or adhkar or whatever we do, any type of ibadah, hajj, with the mind, with the spirit, with ihsan. All of worship, ibadah, with ihsan. Allah commands ihsan even in ibadah. Then when we get to other aspects of our life and deen, Allah, when it comes to parents, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed, don't worship none but Him, and treat your walidain, your parents, with ihsan. What does that mean? You serve them, you look after them, you care for them, you fulfill their huquq, you fulfill their rights. And then Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرُ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Many, many verses about the huquq of parents. So this is mu'ashara, which is social life between our family members, treating each other with ihsan. The verse is about parents, but it extends parents treating their children with ihsan. Because remember, every right in Islam is a two-way street. It's not one way. Every right is a two-way street. Parents have rights, but the children also have rights. Parents have responsibilities, but the children also have responsibilities. The way children have to fulfill the huquq rights of the parents have to also care for and look after and fulfill the rights of the children. The husband has rights towards the wife, and the wife has rights towards the husband. Both. It's not one way. Every relationship, it's a two-way thing. Parents, children, husband, wife, siblings, brother, brother, sister, brother. And also, just in our mu'ashara, in our community, every relationship, teacher, student, landlord, tenant, employer, employee, neighbor to a neighbor, and the classic old problem of planet Earth, which we have in the UK, and I'm sure you have it here as well, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Problem of planet Earth, probably the oldest problem. This is a difficult relationship. Very few mother-in-laws get on with their daughter-in-laws, and if they are getting on, alhamdulillah, thank Allah, two raka'ah shukr every day. And the husband in the middle, the son in the middle, is like on the Sirat bridge. He's like, this way he's fallen, or the most difficult responsibility he has to fulfill. It's very, very difficult for a lot of the brothers. But this, you know, relationship, it's both ways. She has a right, she has a right. And the problem today, what happens is that everybody just focuses on their rights. It's just me, myself, that's it. Forget everybody else. So, you know, I was mentioning this the other day, that when a daughter-in-law, when she's a daughter-in-law, she forgets. She doesn't even realize what being a mother-in-law is about. She just thinks, that's it, you know, she doesn't treat me well, and this, just complain, it's just daughter-in-law, that's it. She doesn't realize that she's got a 3-year-old son, he's going to grow up, going to be 13, and then soon 23, and then he's going to get married, and then he's going to bring a wife. How do you want to be treated when you're in 20 years' time? She can't even imagine that, forget that. When she gets that to that, then she forgets that she was a daughter-in-law one day. Then it's all about being a mother-in-law. Like today's daughter-in-laws are really bad. You were a daughter-in-law. Was I in a past life and forgotten? So everyone just forgets the others. This mu'ashara, it's a topic on its own and there's no time for it. But every relationship with ihsan. Treat everyone with ihsan. With fulfilling of rights. And not just rights, but extra. With you know, the spirit. Our neighbors, you know, right now we are next to each other, we are neighbors in the masjid, the imam, audience, imam, speaker, everybody. I gave a talk on this particular topic about rights, I think I was been here in Johannesburg or Cape Town, I can't remember where. But the talk was that I started by saying that, okay, I'm going to give a talk And I'm going to end at this time. And the reason why I said because you have a right over me and I have a right over you. If I'm a speaker here, that doesn't mean that the audience doesn't have any rights. I keep on talking till 12 midnight, whether, no one knows whether I'm coming or going or what's going to happen. So I have to make sure that I am looking after, as a speaker, if I'm a speaker here or an imam here or a teacher or a ustad or a teacher in a school, I have to make sure that I fulfill the rights of the people in front of me. I'm not our boss. And the people here have to fulfill the rights of the teacher or the speaker. Student, every situation, this is ihsan. Everybody is a muhsin. And every aspect of life, this is mu'asha. If you look at even divorce, talaq. Allah says in the Quran, "At-talaqu marratan, fa-imsakum bi-ma'roofin aw tasrihun bi-ihsan." Talaq is twice, when it's happened twice. And then if you really want to divorce your wife and end the marriage fully, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, hold on to her. If you want to keep on the marriage, then make sure you live the marriage life with ma'ruf in an honorable way. But if you think the marriage is not working, then no problem, divorce is, it's halal. As a last resort, it's permissible. أَوْ تَسْرِيح, the word تَسْرِيح means divorce. Divorce has two words in Arabic, طَلَاق and تَسْرِيح. The Quranic word is used, طَلَاق and تَسْرِيح. So if you leave your wife and you divorce and end the marriage, then make sure that is with ihsan. Even divorce. I don't know how it's here, but I know in the UK and many North America, Canada, divorces get very, very, very messy. The problem is, why it's messy, and I'm not talking about a football player, divorce gets very, very messy is because people have thought that this is haram. It's disgusting, it's bad, it's evil. The community thinks it's evil. Once we think it's evil, then you need to blame someone. If something's evil, bad, then someone has to be blamed. The wife's not going to blame herself. For her, the husband's at fault. The husband's not going to blame himself. I've never come across a case where the husband said, I was a really bad husband, but the divorce ended, but it was all my fault, I was really bad. I think there was one case that happened to me when somebody came to me. Honestly, it's all my fault. It's definitely. Everybody, they might say something like, I have a phone call or an email or something. I know I have my weaknesses. I know. But then the list starts about the other person. I know I'm not an angel. I know I did some things wrong in the marriage as well. However, but he was like this, he was like this, he's this, do. List of 10 things. Everyone will blame the other. The two families, they become lifelong enemies. Lifelong enemies. This is not talaq with ihsan. Quran says to the point that, the Quran mentions that at the time of divorce, there's a small gift. The same verse is, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The people of ihsan, when they divorce, the husband gives a small gift to the wife. A lot of people don't know about this. We all know about the mahar. Mahar is a marriage beginning gift. And there's another gift which is called muta'a. It's called the marriage end gift. Just like mahar, there's another gift. This is not that muta'a which the Shia do. This is another muta'a. It's like a small gift. Like a small garment, clothes. You give to your wife. Husband gives to the wife. Marriage didn't end. No hard feelings. Forgive. Maybe one last hug before the talaq. It didn't work. May Allah give you a better husband in the future. And, I wasn't good enough. And she says, may Allah give you a better wife. It didn't work. We just, alhamdulillah, forgive. And move on in a nice way. If the children are involved, then inshallah, we'll do it amicably with ihsan. This is what the Quran is saying. Even talaq with ihsan. Separation is not a problem, but with ihsan. And every aspect, buying and selling. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلِ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنٌ. When you buy, when you sell, when you weigh, when you measure, when you are transacting, there's verses about that as well. There's no time, there's only 2 minutes left. There's verses about ihsan in buying and selling. And also lastly, which I wanted to talk about in 5 minutes, but there's no time, maybe another lecture for it. Allah says, even your da'wah, if you're an alim, if you're a shaykh, if you're an imam, if you're a mufti, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ ادْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. It's the same thing, hasanah, from the same root word. There's actually 63 verses, and I myself wrote them once about 10, 15 years back. Gathered all the verses of the Quran from the root word ihsan. More than 63, but then I read somewhere there's about 63. But I've got it written, handwritten, penwritten, not just typed. This was because it was a long time ago. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Invite towards your Lord with hikmah, wisdom, and maw'idhatul hasana, good preacher. A da'i, an imam, a mufti, a shaykh, a scholar, a teacher. He's not someone who's foul mouthed and aggressive. When someone talks to that shaykh, like you feel like, is this deen all about just arguing and fighting and swearing and slandering? Like the tongue, the mouth of a Muslim, a basic Muslim, is a sweet tongue. Look at the tongue of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he talk? How did he do da'wah? Why were the sahaba pulled towards it? Because he wasn't aggressive. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah says, you had rahmah, compassion. That's why everybody was pulled towards you. If you were harsh and hard-hearted, and this one's like this, and this group's like that, and this one's like this, and this one's like that, and everyone's fasiq, and everyone's kafir, I'm like, you know, the language. No sahaba would have remained around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Muslim, especially in da'wah, bil hikmah, with wisdom. What is wisdom? Da'wah with wisdom is, you know, people need to learn this wisdom of da'wah. It takes 10-15 years. What to say, when, and how to say it. Sometimes someone is doing something haram, you don't actually say it at that time. The way to preach, what exactly to say. So this is hikmah, and maw'idatul hasana, with ihsan. And even with non-Muslims, wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. If you have to debate or discuss with Christians, with Jews, with ihsan. In every aspect of life, from beginning to end, our deen is based on ihsan. A person with ihsan, there are many, many rewards. And there's verses about rewards of ihsan. And I'll just mention one verse. There's no numerous verses. But there's only one verse I'll mention. Allah says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. The reward of ihsan is nothing but ihsan from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.